That includes the massive Bryan Head Fire in southwestern Utah. That blaze has blackened more than 50,000 acres south of Salt Lake City. Crews are also busy fighting large wildfires in California, Arizona, Washington, New Mexico, Idaho, and Nevada.
Police in Paris say a man's under arrest after trying to plow his vehicle through a crowd at a mosque. This time no one was hurt as his SUV was blocked by barriers outside that mosque in a Paris suburb. You're listening to USA Radio News.
I have to get to sleep.
Tom had a stressful day, and now he can't shut down at bedtime.
Need sleep.
To fall asleep fast, millions of people turn to Unisom sleep gels. They're non-habit forming and quickly help you sleep soundly so you wake recharged. Tom? Unisom sleep gels. A stressful day deserves a restful night. Use as directed. Active ingredient diphenhydramine hydrochloride.
Opioid addiction by Americans still skyrocketing. That's the finding of a new study just out from Blue Cross Blue Shield, showing the number of people addicted to both prescription and illicit opioids rose by nearly 500% from 2010 to 2016. The analysis of the insurance company's members finding about 1.5 cases of opioid abuse among every 1,000 members in 2010. By 2016, that number had risen to over 8 out of every 1,000. New Jersey's Governor Chris Christie is instructing all state agencies to get ready for a possible government shutdown. It's first since 2006 if a new budget isn't passed by midnight tonight. Here's Sarah Lee Kessler.
New Jersey's Republican governor is blaming the impasse on Speaker Vince Prieto, a Democrat.
The only obstruction left is the Speaker, who for some reason has decided that the interests of a multi-billion-dollar insurance company are more important to protect than the people's ability to have their government remain open and operational.
Without a budget, Christie says the state would be forced to shut down beaches and parks on this July 4th weekend, the state lottery, and tell hundreds of non-essential state workers to stay home.
And starting tomorrow, anyone 21 and older can legally purchase up to an ounce of marijuana in Nevada for recreational use. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Don't fear technology.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from Hunterdon.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Good afternoon. Friday afternoon, can you believe the last day in June? Hard to believe, but all of you who think there are 31 days in June, go back and look at your calendar once again. And so what's happening this last day of June? Well, I'll talk a little bit more about the news in New Jersey, but first of all, let's talk about the weather. Supposedly, there is about a 30% chance of showers this afternoon and mainly thunderstorms, probably after 5 p.m., certainly doesn't look it out there today. It's been a beautiful, beautiful day. Probably a little too warm. Seems like it's actually warmer than 89 degrees. That was our prediction. Tonight, there is a 40% chance of showers, low only about 70 degrees. And by tomorrow, of course, we have a 40% chance of scattered thunderstorms. So what else is new? If it's a weekend, we have a chance of thunderstorms. It's really amazing, however, you can be one place and just a few miles away, there will be no rain or minimal rain. That certainly happened to me last Monday. I was going between Somerville and New Brunswick, and it was an unbelievable storm. I mean, one of the worst that I've driven in a long time. And yet, in Hunterdon County, at least near Round Valley Reservoir, was very minimal rain. But in any event, this is our prediction for this area. Saturday night, predicting heavy rain, 70%, slight chance of showers on Sunday, then mostly sunny. So it's only about a 20% chance on showers on Sunday, and then it should be mostly sunny, mostly clear on Sunday night into Monday, sunny, and Independence Day, July 4th, it should be mostly sunny. And so that is our prediction, and the program, It's the Law, and we'll be talking about some of the legal issues today. And, of course, the first thing that I wanted to mention, if you didn't hear the news, is that, once again, we have a crisis in New Jersey. You know, I think ever since I moved to New Jersey, there seems to be at least one or two crises a year. Now, there is, in fact, a huge opioid epidemic, and including here in Hunterdon County. There's been, across the country, they have said in the last 6 years, there's been about a 500% increase. Estimate 8 out of 1,000 people are addicted or seriously have serious problems. And that may not sound like a lot, but it is. And, of course, it's even higher in some places here in New Jersey. So that is one thing that I will say. I think Governor Christie has been trying to do something, but the way to really deal with the problem, of course, is to have people have medical insurance so they can get treatment and get treatment early. And, you know, with what's happening with the medical insurance, it's really questionable. In the new plan, and, well, what proposed plan? Who knows at this point? And this is my own view. So obviously, I'm Pat Smits. I'm the host of It's the Law, and I'm giving you today my views. But one of the problems in the recent years is that medical insurance coverage for alcoholism and drug addiction has really become much less, at least it seems to be, much less than it was some years ago. It used to be pretty standard that there be a 30-day treatment, and if you had any kind of decent insurance, it would be paid for, or at least most of it paid for. And today, very often, hospitals have problems trying to get anything more than perhaps detox. So in any event, I think one of the things that people need to be concerned about is medical coverage, not only for physical problems, but for drug and alcohol and mental problems. I mean, the difficulty with people who have mental problems is that if they don't get treated and treated early and on the correct medications, if they need medication, it only gets worse. And I have seen what happens when there is early and excellent treatment. And it can be really life-saving. But in any event, the thing that, of course, the real big problem now is the possible government shutdown, the threatened shutdown. And, of course, this is a perfect holiday weekend. And it's also the end of the year, the fiscal year for the state. So they have to pass a budget or do something by midnight tonight. And otherwise, Governor Christie is threatening to shut down everything other than essential services. So that means state parks, beaches, everyone who's planning on spending the holiday and spending their money close to home, there won't be even in our own Hunterdon County, that could mean a shutdown of Round Valley Reservoir, Spruce Run, and of course the entire state facilities down at the shore. So that's not good news, and it always seems to be a crisis. So what? Let me play a couple spots, and then we'll get back. And I do want to talk to you today about a case. And one of the things in New Jersey is I've always been proud to be an attorney here because, in the most part, we have an excellent judiciary. And we really do. And we're very lucky to have a judiciary that is not elected. And I've said this over and over, but anyone who has seen what happens in states where there is an elected judiciary would be very happy with what and how our judges are appointed. I'm not going to say it's not a political process, and someone who has not been involved at all in politics would have difficulty because the state is supposed to be equal Republican and Democratic, and that has not always happened, and it certainly has not always happened here in Hunterdon County. But there really was a hue and cry among people who knew what was happening when we had three appointments that were all Republican here in Hunterdon County. And that's because there should be balance. At the time, the governor at the time said that she felt that because there were overall, she was trying to equalize the state. But in general, we have one Republican and then one Democratic appointment. So in any event, there have been two appointments recently. So finally, Governor Christie has been appointing a number of new judges. In fact, I received a call just recently from the state police, an inquiry of an attorney who had worked for me many years ago as an associate, and they were doing a background check. So they were obviously being as thorough as possible because this attorney is on the list as a possible judicial appointment and may actually have been one of the attorneys who were just appointed by the governor. I did not look at that entire list. But in any event, we have one appointment here in Hunterdon County and one appointment in Somerset County. Now, in the end, we don't know where these new judges will be sitting, because as I've said before, we have a vicinage, which means that the vicinage here is Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren County. So it's not at all unusual that a judge from Hunterdon County may sit in Somerset County or may sit in Warren County. In fact, we lost Judge Bartlett for years to Warren County, where she was assigned, so that the presiding judge can make a determination as to where the judges should be sitting. I know there's going to be a lot of change in September. There's already been some change, so that when Judge Mala was assigned to the appellate division, and I understand that, I do know that that was a temporary assignment, but we all expect that it'll be permanent. At that point, there was he was sitting as the presiding judge in Somerset County. Well, actually, he was the presiding family judge for the entire vicinage. And when he was elevated to the appellate division, Judge Pacheca was temporarily the presiding family judge. And, however, he is was then assigned to criminal. And so what happened is we had a new presiding judge, and it's Judge Kimberly Rahill, who is in a Warren County appointment and who had been sitting in Warren County. So Judge Pacheca is moving to criminal. I understand our own Bob Ballard, Judge Bob Ballard, or Robert Ballard, who, when he was appointed, started on criminal in Somerset County, which, of course, made a lot of sense because he's done criminal work for perhaps not 100%, but for his entire career. And he was a municipal prosecutor in a number of municipalities and had extensive experience in criminal law. Of course, now he's going to be appointed to civil, unless that changes. And at least there was some consideration of his background. So instead of going on to family, which usually the new judges routinely are assigned to family, which is really unfortunate because the family part is very special. There are lots of different types of cases that the family part judges handle. And frankly, somebody coming on the bench with no experience in family, there's going to be catch-up, just as if someone like me, who, of course, I never wanted to go on the bench, but if I was appointed as a judge, it would be so foolish to put me on criminal or civil because the only thing I've ever done is family. Excuse me. So anyway, getting back to the fact that we have two new appointments, I mean, that is good to have two new appointments in the vicinage, and it's really important because when a judge is elevated to the appellate division, they are not replaced at the trial level. And so we have a situation where Judge Mala, as I said, he was the presiding family part judge in our vicinage, and when he was elevated, and the fact that he was elevated to the appellate division, not only is he going to be missed, he was an excellent trial judge. I think we all feel very comfortable that he will be on the appellate division because he's extremely bright, hardworking, and I look forward to his opinions because I think they will be excellent and well thought out. But in any event, he is not going to be and will not be replaced. So the fact that he's up in the appellate division doesn't entitle our vicinage to a new judge to replace him. But at least we're going to have two new judges, both one appointed from Hunterdon County and one appointed from Somerset County. So that's good news. So let me just bring you a couple spots, and then I'll get back, because I want to talk about a very interesting case. I think it's a case of first impression here in New Jersey. Well-reasoned judge in Middlesex County, Judge Silva, and in fact, it was approved for publication, and as well it should be. So I think that I'd like to talk about that, and I will, in fact, after we have a couple, some information from a couple of our sponsors. And again, I hope everyone, really thinks about the sponsors, and it's important for us to support them, and, they support our radio station.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, hi again. Friday, June 30th. I'm Pat Smits, your host of It's the Law. And so what is happening in the law? I think at least for some people, this, in fact, is a breakthrough case. Although it sounds rather routine, the matter came to the trial court, and it was what we call one of first impression in this state, meaning that there is at least no published decision with respect to the decision, and probably not any unpublished decision. That doesn't mean that the issue has not come up, but what it means is that there's nothing to confirm that it was ever litigated before. And the way that this is handled, obviously, is many times there are cases that judges hear, they decide, and we never know about them unless we happen to be one of the attorneys or know one of the attorneys or maybe have been in the courtroom, because they're not published and they're not even submitted for publication, and nothing has really been written as far as the judge has not given a written decision so that it's not even considered an unpublished case. But in any event, this is a case that was a Middlesex County case, and actually I will provide you with the names because the parties in this case requested that the court use their real names, and it was also the teenager's desire that his name be used in the opinion. So ordinarily, an opinion like this, there would be initials, or there would be some pseudonym, would be an alias used so that the parties in the case would not be identified. But in this case, the plaintiff mother, Janet Sacklow, and the defendant father, Richard Betts, and the teenager in question, his name, he was a 16-year-old transgender child, and he wanted to change his name from Veronica Betts to Trevor Adam Betts. So he had been actually going by the name of Trevor for a number of years. But the question facing the court was the standard to apply and which factors a court should consider. So in other words, because Trevor was 16 years old, he was not 18, so he had no right to change his name, and this was something that the court needed to involve itself in. And the issue before the court is that the best interest of the child, and that's the standard, which is a very loose standard. And in most cases, the best interest of the child depends on the way the judge decides the case and the emphasis the judge places on various the testimony, documents, etc. But in this, it was a very, very narrow issue. Trevor, or Veronica, was her given birth name. She had been using the name Trevor. She identified as male, and she wanted the court to allow her to legally change her name. So I think it's interesting to look at, and this case does look at the analysis that a judge goes through, or should go through at least, in making that decision. So there are a number of factors that the judge indicated need to be considered when determining whether a name change is in the child, in the minor child, that is, the minor child's best interest. And where the minor child is transgender and wishes to assume a name the child believes corresponds to the gender that he or she may identify with. So, of course, there's an additional step if, in fact, or perhaps what I should say, additional factors that should be considered if the child is transgender. So as the court said, I mean, he pointed out seven specific factors. Age of the child, length of time the child has used the preferred name. Now, in some cases, that may be no time at all. In this case, there was a period of time. And three is possibly, I think, one of the most important, which is any potential anxiety, embarrassment, or discomfort that may result from the child having a name he or she believes does not match his or her outward appearance and gender identity. So a transitioning child is going to be taking on the characteristics of whether it's male or female. In this case, it was male. Also, the history of any medical or mental health counseling the child has received. I think that most judges, this would be an important factor, whether or not there's been counseling, whether or not this is a spur-of-the-moment decision, obviously, or whether it's something that's been expressed for a period of time. The name the child is known by in his or her family, school, and community. Well, I'm sure that in some, this child would be known as Veronica, or in other families, when she wanted to start using the name Trevor. And I think from now on, what I'll try to do is use the gender that this teenager identified with, which was male, and use the name Trevor. Now, they also, another factor is the child's preference and motivations for seeking the name change. I think that is also very important, and it was important in this case, as we will discuss. Now, whether both parents consent to the name change, and that was important in this case, and that's why it came about initially. And then if the consent is not given, the reason for withholding consent. So you could have had both parents withholding consent, or one parent withholding consent, or both parents being fully in agreement with it. So what the trial judge here held, and that's Judge Silva, and Judge Silva held that the application for a minor's name change implicates various procedural requirements, and that's true. There is a statute, and there is a rule, and an application to change a minor's name has to commenced by filing a verified complaint setting forth the grounds for the application. So in other words, the reasons. There has to be, as in any other action, it has to start somewhere, and the way it starts in the court is with a complaint. And then the complaint, there's certain factors that have to be included, including the date of the birth of the minor child, and also there are three things that, although would not usually come up, that also have to be considered, and that's the application is not made with any intent to avoid creditors or to disrupt or obstruct delinquency prosecution or any other fraudulent purposes, and I think that's a given in almost anything. So the second fact would be whether the minor child has ever been convicted of delinquency, and if so, the nature of the delinquent behavior. So this is for a name change of any child, not just a transgender child, but any child who wants to, change the name. In other words, if not common, but not unusual thing would be a child who was born, parents were never married, child always lived, and let's say always lived with the mother, father was completely out of the picture, father was never involved with the child, never paid child support, so that this child really had no relationship with that parent or that parent's family, and that would be, a reason. So that would be a reason why the child wants to change the name. Again, a very legitimate reason. And that's why, however, the complaint has to state what that it's not meant to avoid creditors, not meant to really obstruct any procedures against the juvenile. And the third thing, of course, is whether any delinquency charges are pending against the child, and then with detail regarding the charges as reasonably necessary to enable the Division of Criminal Justice or the appropriate county prosecutor to identify the matter. So in other words, a child, an adult cannot change his or her name to avoid prosecution. And in fact, in situations in divorce cases where the wife may want to resume her maiden name or prior name, these very similar, she has to testify that she's not trying to do it to avoid creditors, and she's not filed or is planning on filing bankruptcy, and there are no criminal proceedings. So this is simply a guarantee that the person who wants to change their name can't do it to hide from creditors or hide from prosecution. So additionally, in this case, the trial court said that if a minor is involved in a family action, and meaning a divorce case, the complaint has to state whether the child or any party in interest is the subject of a family action pending or concluded within 3 years preceding the filing of the complaint. That's part of the rule. So in other words, there can't be a divorce. And let's say a woman comes to me 3 months after the divorce and says, well, now I want to change my kids' names to my name. Not going to happen if it's recent, because if there's been concluded within 3 years preceding the filing of the complaint, the probability is that it will not be permitted. But in any event, it has to be disclosed. Now, in this case, the trial court, Judge Silva, found that the verified complaint satisfied the requirements of both the statute, New Jersey statute, and the New Jersey court rules, and that it was uncontested that Trevor is not doing this with a purpose to defraud creditors or avoid criminal prosecution, nor, in fact, had he ever been involved with the criminal justice system. So that taking care of, what happens next? Well, the court looked at the standard of review on an application to change a minor child's name. And in fact, it was important for the judge to go through all of these facts and the background and the statute and the rules. But the case in New Jersey, which we call the seminal case, was Gubernat versus Dermer. That's D-E-R-E-M-E-R. And that was a case before our New Jersey Supreme Court in 1995. And then another case, Emma versus Evans, again, a New Jersey Supreme Court case in 2013. So what this means is that the trial judge could not do something that was not permitted by the Supreme Court. In other words, the trial judge had to follow these Supreme Court decisions. So what were they? Well, the Supreme Court determined in Gubernat that the main consideration of whether a minor's surname should be changed is whether it is in the best interests of the child. Now, of course, as I said, best interest, the judge makes a ruling and supports it as to why he or she believes it's in the child's best interest. But in order to assist trial courts in making this determination, the Supreme Court set forth a number of factors that should be considered in any surname change dispute for a minor child. So remember, it does say dispute. So I believe that based on that decision, the court, if both parents agreed, the court could proceed with a consent order. And that is, unless there's some reason why the court would take over decision-making parents from parents, the courts do not ordinarily take over a parent's decision-making process. But in any event, the case, the Supreme Court really talked about 11 specific factors, and I'm not going to go through all those factors, but one would be, for example, the effect of a name change on the relationship between the child and each parent. So it, you know, that would be important. In other words, let's say I have a woman who is primary custody comes to me and says, well, now I want to change the children's names to mine and not to my former, they now have the name of their father, and I don't want that. I want them to have my surname. And frankly, I would really discourage this if this was something where the father was involved with the children. So now there might be a difference because one of the factors, one of the 11 factors that the Supreme Court talked about in Gumerdat was the degree of community respect or lack thereof associated with either paternal or maternal name. So there might be a situation where the mother, former wife, would come in and just say, look, I want to change the name. Well, you know, there would be individual circumstances that may, in fact, make it worthwhile to file that complaint. One, of course, is what if, in this case that I'm talking about, example, the father was a notorious criminal. I mean, you know, for example, and I'm off the top of my head, but Bernie Madoff. I mean, most people in New York knew who Bernie Madoff was. He was, you know, really one of the worst. So you couldn't understand where if his sons had been younger, the mother might have wanted to change their name to protect them. And, of course, on the flip side would be an improper motivation on the part of the parents seeking the name change. And, you know, in fact, one of the things in Gumerdat was whether the mother has changed or intends to change her name upon remarriage. So that would be a factor. In other words, if the mother was getting remarried and wanted to change the children's names to her maiden name, I mean, if there is no other significant reason, if she's going to still have a different name than the children, then what would be her motivation? And, of course, whether the child has a strong relationship with any siblings with different names. So, you know, it's not at all uncommon that the child, I mean, in most cases, whether or not the mother has changed her name on marriage, most of the time the children are given their father's surname. Now, we have many more today that, of course, have hyphenated names, but in general, I still think that if we did a survey, the percentage would be very high that we're talking about children with their father's name, surname. So that it could be important if the father now has other children and they have, let's say, half siblings or even full siblings. One child wants to change his or her name and the other children don't. Well, you know, one of the questions would be whether the child has a strong relationship with any siblings with different names. So it could be, you know, I was talking about the same names, but what about different names? Maybe, you know, one thing would be that the mother has other children. The child has been raised with the other children and feels strange, funny, whatever you want to say, because that child has a different name. I remember in our own situation, We have one adopted child, but when he had to stay with us for a year, and of course he had a different surname than our natural children. When I say natural, our naturally born children. We had two other children at the time. We adopted him when he was older. But I remember he was really unhappy that he could not use our name when he went to school. And, you know, he thought our two daughters were his sisters, and yet he felt very strange when he had to use a different name. And it was pretty significant. I mean, granted, he was eight and a half years old, so he knew that he had a different name. And that was one of the things that was important to him, that he would end up, as soon as he was adopted, he then would be able to use our name. So all of these things are individual situations, obviously. And, you know, one of the factors that I think a trial court would be really concerned about is if the name change, the effect of the name change on the relationship between the child and each parent. Now, this, of course, in this case, the child was not going to change his surname, only the first name. So what was the Supreme Court in New Jersey said in a dispute to rename a child of unmarried parents, and that was the case in Gubernat, but the party wishing to change the surname jointly given to the child at birth bears the burden of proving by a preponderance of the evidence that the change would be in the child's best interest. So, for example, if at birth the father acknowledged paternity, and even though the parents were not married, so the child was given his name, then if later on the mother wanted to change the child's name, she'd have the burden of proving why that should be done. And as I said, one reason could be that, you know, after the birth, father disappeared, never supported the child, never saw the child, and had no relationship with the child. Now, it would be a different situation if, in fact, the child had great contact with his father. I don't think it makes any difference in that case whether the parents are married or not married. So Emma versus Evans, that was the other case decided by the Supreme Court. And in that case, the Supreme Court of New Jersey decided and determined that the best interest of the child test should be applied in determining whether to change the jointly given name of a child. And that was, of course, regardless of whether the child was born out of wedlock or during the marriage. And there should not be a presumption in favor of the custodial parent. And that's very important because very often, and probably in most cases, there is a when I say custodial parent, I don't mean that, because in most cases in New Jersey, I think probably the majority of cases, parties who get divorced share joint legal custody. However, often fathers have a belief that that means more than it really does. And in fact, it's a significant problem because the parent of primary residence, and that's the parent, unless they're not named as parent of primary residence in the decree or judgment, this is the parent where the child spends more of the time. And so in cases where children are spending equal time with each parent after divorce, such as 1 week, 1 week, I would never say that one parent is parent of primary residence in that circumstance, because they're obviously, they have equal and shared parenting. But in any event, even if the case where there's a parent of primary residence, there's certainly not a presumption in favor of that parent, the custodial parent, or the parent of primary residence. And it would be very unfair if that was the case, because I don't know of any father who agrees to permit the mother to be the parent of primary residence would ever think or intend that that would also give her the right to change the child's name, unless it's in the agreement. So anyway, this case and this court, Judge Silva found that the best interest of the child standard should apply to the plaintiff's application. And Judge Silva found that although those cases provided some guidance, they did not fully address whether the proposed name change is in Trevor's best interest. So, of course, they said it had to be in the child's best interest, but they didn't say, didn't have enough factual information that allowed this trial judge to say that the proposed name would be in Trevor's best interest. So the judge went through all of the procedural history, and in this case what happened is the plaintiff filed a complaint for the name change in September 2016, and the plaintiff requested the court change the party's child's name from Veronica to Trevor, and the plaintiff certified that the name change was in the child's best interest because the child was or is transgender. And the child identified as male, has been undergoing treatment for gender dysphoria, I think I'm saying that correctly, dysphoria. And so that was the basis on why the application was made. Now, the defendant father filed a answer and requesting that the court deny his former wife's request. And he argued that a hearing was necessary in order for the court to determine if the name change was in the child's best interest. And this is important. Plenary hearings, in a case like this where there are disputed applications, the courts are required to conduct plenary hearings. They don't always do it, but they are, because there are significant differences between the certifications filed by the mother and the certifications filed by the father. So actually, in this case, that was in September. In December, the trial court held what we call a pretrial conference with the parties, and then a hearing date at that time was set for March 7th. So this, in other words, the judge did agree with the father that a plenary hearing was needed to determine whether or not the change was in the child's best interest. So in fact, in March, the court heard testimony from the mother, the father, and Trevor. And so that was March, and what was interesting is then this case was decided on March 17th, 2017, so that it was decided, the judge decided it very quickly. Procedural. I think the trial court heard it on March 7th, that's right. So within 10 days, the judge had made a decision. Well, you might say, well, wait a minute, why are we talking at the end of June? Why are we just hearing about this? The decision was approved for publication on June 28th, so that there was a gap between the time of the decision, although the judge did this very quickly. Within 10 days, he had a decision. However, his decision was not published. And this is a trial court case. It was not taken up on appeal. So this is the decision that Judge Silva made on March 17th, 2017, when the rest of us were in New York watching the parade, I guess. In any event, at that time in March, the trial court heard testimony from, as I said, the plaintiff, the defendant, and Trevor. And at the conclusion of the plaintiff's case, and that meant that the plaintiff had to put her witnesses on, including she obviously put Trevor on the stand as her witness, and then the defendant father, after cross-examining Trevor, indicated his willingness to consent to the name change, yet continued to express his concern over whether it was in Trevor's best interest. So that the trial court said, given the contentious nature of the case, the plaintiff's request that the court make its own findings independent of the defendant's consent. So that's interesting. What the plaintiff said is, Judge, even though he's now consented, I would like you to make a ruling. And so the court, if they're making a ruling, have to make findings of fact. And in this case, the judge said that given the contentious nature of the case and the plaintiff's request that the court make its own findings independent of the defendant's consent, the judge said yes. And said also, furthermore, more fully, the court finds that the consent of a minor child's parents is only one factor to consider in determining if the name change is in the best interests of the minor child. So what the judge here was saying is that even if both people consented, the judge would not necessarily grant it. Judge would have to figure it out because that was only one factor. So then the judge in the case went on to talk about the background that Trevor didn't like, and this is where I have some difficulty. Apparently the mother certified, looking back over the years, that Trevor did not like the, quote, typical girl toys and did not play with dolls and absolutely hated wearing dresses. And this is a quote. Quote, typical girl toys, comma, did not play with dolls and absolutely hated wearing dresses, end quote, but that he, quote, loved to play baseball and basketball, skateboard, and rollerblades. So this was the mother's testimony. Didn't sound very unusual to me, but maybe I grew up in a different place where that was not unusual. And so I'm going to just stop for a minute to let somebody in, so I'll put a spot on right now.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, Celebrant Officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, I've run out of time. This is Pat Smits, and so I will tell you more about this case probably the next time we meet. In fact, the judge did allow Trevor to change his name to Trevor, or I should say Veronica to change her name to Trevor. And there were very well-reasoned case and a great example of how the trial judges really think about cases and really make decisions. And when they do it, they so often in New Jersey do it right. And that's one of the reasons that our trial courts are so well respected. So in any event, that looks to me about the amount of time. Let me go ahead and play one last spot and then go to the news. And then we'll be back with the sports guys and talk to you about sports and hope to be here on next week. And a couple things I'm going to be doing in the near future is having somebody on to speak about some of the problems that the undocumented friends among us, some of the concerns. But in any event, have a great 4th of July. Hope everybody's going to be able to take off for the weekend. And let's hope our governor did not or will not follow through with his threat to close the beaches and the parks, etc., if the legislature does not pass the budget by midnight tonight.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The era of strategic patience with the North Korean regime has failed. Many years, and it's failed. And frankly, that patience is over.
President Trump at a joint press conference today with the South Korean president talking about North Korea, new restrictions against them, and American resolve to fight back no matter what North Korea may do.
Our goal is peace, stability, and prosperity for the region. But the United States will defend itself, always will defend itself, always.
At least half a dozen states in the western U.S. battling wildfires. The National Interagency Fire Center reported 29 large fires across the region as of Thursday, including the Bryan Head Fire in southwestern Utah. The massive blaze has blackened more than 50,000 acres south of Salt Lake City. Get more news online at usaradio.com.
You check things all the time, like your email every 10 seconds or your ex's Instagram. But what about checking something as important as your credit? Well, Discover makes it quick, easy, and best of all, free. Discover is now offering FICO credit scores to everyone for free, even if you're not a customer. And checking your score won't hurt your credit. We call it the Discover Credit Scorecard. And once you know your score, you should check to see if your current credit card is the best fit for you. Check your credit. Compare your card. Go to discover.com/credit scorecard. Limitations apply.
Right now at Kohl's, it's not our everyday sale. For a limited time, shop hundreds of epic deals in-store and online. No coupons needed. Women's tees and tanks, just $5.99.